Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 30. And I'll be reading the verses 22 through 33. Exodus, chapter 30, the verses 22 through 33. And we as a congregation have been working our way through the book of Exodus. And this morning we read from chapter 30. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Take the following fine spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much, that is, 250 shekels of fragrant cinnamon, 250 shekels of fragrant cane, 500 shekels of cassia, all according to the sanctuary shekel, and a hin of olive oil. Make these into a sacred anointing oil, a fragrant blend, the work of a perfumer. It will be the sacred anointing oil. Then use it to anoint the tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony, the table and all its articles, the lampstand and its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, and the basin with its stand. You shall consecrate them so they will be most holy, and whatever touches them will be holy. Anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them so they may serve me as priests. Say to the Israelites, 'This is to be my sacred anointing oil for the generations to come.' Do not pour it on men's bodies, and do not make any oil with the same formula. It is sacred, and you are to consider it sacred. Whoever makes perfume like it, and whoever puts it on any one other than a priest, must be cut off from his people." That's the reading of God's word this morning. Exodus chapter 30 begins and it ends with incense. In the first part of Exodus chapter 30, we read that God gives instructions to the people as to how they are to build the altar of incense. In the last few verses of the chapter, verses 34 to the end, we read that God gives instructions to the people how they are to make the incense that is to be burned. And we learned when we had a sermon on that particular part that the altar of incense was placed before the Holy of Holies. It was placed there so that the smoke that arose from the burning of the incense would go before God as his presence was on the Ark of the Testimony between the cherubim. And so the altar of incense represents, according to the New Testament, the prayers of God's saints. The prayers of God's saints that go up before Him through the intercession of God's Spirit. Well, what kinds of people are qualified to have their prayers go up before God in such a way? Not just anyone. Not just anyone can pray to God and know that their prayers are heard. But it is those who know that the Spirit is interceding for them. And for whom does the Spirit intercede? Well, as we look at the center of Exodus chapter 30, the three sections that are surrounded by the instructions concerning the incense, we see God giving the Old Testament qualifications for these kinds of people. Now, when we come to the New Testament, remember that much of this all comes together into one moment of time. But God has given it to us this way in the Old Testament so that we can recognize the different parts and the different meaning of everything that comes together for someone who belongs to God's people. In verses 11 through 16, we read that God tells the people to take a census and that each one who is counted as one of God's people must pay a ransom for his life at the time he is counted, verse 12. then no plague will come on them when you number them. God's people must first be numbered. They must be numbered as one of God's people. And as they are numbered, they are to bring a ransom, a half shekel, for to be used in service of the tabernacle to identify them with the sacrifices that are made there. How do you become numbered as one of God's people? You identify yourself with the sacrifice. And ultimately, we know that in the New Testament, that sacrifice is Jesus Christ. If you know Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, you become identified as one of God's people, counted as one of His number. Well, then in verse 17 through 21, we read about the basin. The basin that is to be placed in between the altar of burnt offering and the entrance to the tent of meeting, or the holy place. For the priests to represent the people and to enter into the tabernacle structure itself, where God's presence is, they must be washed. They must wash their skin. They must wash their hands and their feet before they can enter. They must be cleansed before they can go into that holy place. And last week, we talked about the cleansing that Jesus has done for us. For any one of God's people to enter into the holy place or the presence of God or into heaven itself, they must be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And we best know how this is represented through the baptisms that all of God's people experience. Baptism is not what cleanses them, but baptism represents the cleansing from sin that Jesus has poured upon them. Well, now as we come to verses 22 through 33, we see God giving instructions for the anointing of the oil. And we read in verse 25 that the Israelites are to make these into a sacred anointing oil, a fragrant blend, the work of a perfumer, and it is to be the sacred anointing oil. Then, it says in verse 26, they are to use it to anoint the tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony, the table and its articles, the lampstand and its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, and the basin with its stand. You shall consecrate them so they will be most holy, and whatever touches them will be most holy. God gives an extensive list of what is to be anointed. Everything that we have already described as being built in the book of Exodus that will be used in the tabernacle itself. Every item is included. From the altars of burnt offering and the altar of incense to the table of showbread and the lampstand inside of the holy place. In fact, the Ark of the Testimony is also included. All of these items are to be anointed. They are to be ordained by God in service to Him. They are to be anointed with this special oil, representing that they are set apart from the other items in the tabernacle, from the other items that are included. These items are special before the Lord. They are anointed. These are not plain utensils on the table of showbread, but these are special ones, only to be used in the tabernacle structure itself concerning the priesthood ministry of God, concerning the forgiveness of sins. The oil represents that they are sacred and they are set apart. But not only are all the items to be set apart, not only are all these items to be used in the tabernacle and to be anointed, but we also read in verse 30 that the priests are to be anointed. Anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them so they may serve me as priests. Say to the Israelites, this is to be my sacred anointing oil for the generations to come. Not only are the items that are to be used in the tabernacle to be anointed, but so are the priests, Aaron and his sons, those who represent the people before God. Those who will enter into the tabernacle itself are to be anointed with this special oil, and they are to enter and to serve there as those who have been set apart for the priestly ministry of God. No one can go into the tabernacle, no one can go into the presence of God without first being set apart and anointed to be there. And this oil is to remain special. You see, as these verses end in verse 32, this oil is not to become common, verse 32 tells us. Do not pour it on men's bodies. Do not make any oil with the same formula. It is sacred, and you are to consider it sacred. Whoever makes perfume like it and whoever puts it on anyone other than a priest must be cut off from his people. This oil that they are to make with this fragrant perfume that is to be used to set apart God's people and anoint them as service to God, this oil is to remain special. Don't just put it on anyone. Don't just make it because it smells nice and you want to put it on yourself so that you smell good. Don't make it because you want to be like the priests. No. This is to remain special, and anyone who uses it for any other purpose must be cut off from his people. And so as we look at these verses that come between the incense at the beginning of Exodus 30 and at the end of Exodus 30, we see a pattern developing. First, we read in the atonement money how God is calling the people to be numbered as his own, and what qualifies them to be numbered as God's people is their half shekel that is a ransom for their sins, their identity ultimately in Christ, numbered as God's people who died as a ransom for their sins. We see in the basin for washing, the washing that is necessary for God's people to enter his presence. The priests who represent the people must wash themselves before entering the tabernacle where God is, just as we must be washed by the blood of Jesus before we can enter his presence, just as we are baptized into his name. Well, what then of the anointing oil? How are we as God's New Testament people anointed today? I don't remember any time where someone came along and poured oil on my head or on the heads of most people here. How does the anointing oil and the instructions that God gives in Exodus 30 fit in to this pattern? Well, turn with me to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, starting at verse 21. When all of the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in a bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son whom I love, with you I am well pleased." Here is Jesus coming out to the water, and he is being baptized, and the people standing there witness as the Holy Spirit descends upon him in bodily form like a dove. And God declares who this person is. You are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. But how can we know that this baptism that takes place is the same thing as the anointing that took place in Exodus 30? How can we know for sure that the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus is the same thing as the oil being used upon the articles in the tabernacle and upon the priests. Well, look at Luke chapter 4, verse 14. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus has come away from the temptation that Satan has given him. And the first place he goes in the Gospel of Luke is Nazareth. And in verse 14, we read this: Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." The scripture passage that Jesus reads comes from the book of Isaiah chapter 61. And there Isaiah proclaims, as Jesus announces his fulfillment of this passage, "The Spirit of the Lord has come upon me, because the Lord has anointed me." When the Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus at his baptism, he is anointed as God's servant, as God's priest, as God's prophet, priest, and king. He is set apart to become the earthly tabernacle. He is set apart to fulfill everything that the Old Testament tabernacle represented. He is ordained by God himself as God's Son to go to the cross, to die for the sins of his people, to spill his blood as a ransom for their sins. He, as God's ordained priest, set apart in service to God to minister here on this earth, will wash their sins away by his precious blood. And after he arose from the grave, he is seated in heaven, in the great tabernacle of heaven itself, at the right hand of God, and he sends his Spirit upon God's people. In Exodus chapter 30, it begins with incense and it ends with incense. The incense represents the intercession of the Spirit that goes before God in the prayers of his people. What kinds of people? What is their qualifications to know that the intercession of the Spirit goes on their behalf? They must believe that Jesus Christ has died for their sins, as a ransom for their sins. And as they believe that, they become numbered in a census as one of God's people. As they believe in Jesus Christ, they are baptized. Jesus Christ was baptized. Jesus Christ washes away their sins through his blood and enables them to be qualified to enter into the tabernacle itself. And we are baptized by water to show our identification with that. And finally, we as God's people are anointed by the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, John tells us, the church, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth." John is telling the church that all of us have been anointed by God. All of us, because we know the truth. Because we know that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We would not know that if the Spirit had not anointed us and opened our hearts to know that very thing. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you, because of that, know the truth. And then in verse 27 of 1 John 2, drop down to verse 27. "As for you, the anointing you receive from Him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as is His anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in Him." This anointing has opened our hearts to know and understand what the tabernacle means, to know and understand what Jesus has done on the cross, to know and understand what it means to be qualified to enter into the presence of God, to the great tabernacle of heaven itself, to know that Jesus died for our sins, that He was the ransom, paid for our sins, to know that He has washed us and that His Spirit is upon us, so that we can know that, so that we can believe that, so that we can live as those who are anointed, set apart for the service of God. You see, in the Old Testament, the articles of the tabernacle to be used in God's presence were anointed. The priests who entered into the holy place and the holy of holies were anointed. The people could not go in there, but the priests had to go in for their sake. But that's not how it is in the New Testament tabernacle. In the New Testament tabernacle, Jesus is already there as the great high priest. And He pours out His Spirit upon those who believe in Him. He opens their hearts so they know Him and embrace Him as their Lord and as their Savior. And no longer do we watch as others are anointed for us. But we who believe in Him are anointed by God Himself as priests of the Most High God, in service, in dedication, in life, to live for Him. What does John mean at the end of verse 27 of 1 John when he says, "Just as it has taught you, remain in Him"? Turn to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul writes about what it means to live in the Spirit. Paul writes about what it means to be set apart and to live your life for God as one who has been anointed. Galatians 5, verse 16, Paul writes this: "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with one another, so that you do not know what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law." Living by the Spirit and living by the sinful nature are in conflict with one another. But God has called us as those who have been anointed to live by this Spirit, to not live by the sinful nature, but to live as one who has been set apart for service to God as a priest of the Most High, one who identifies not with the things of this world, but with the high priest in heaven, who has been anointed and who anoints us. Well, let's get specific. Verse 19 of Galatians 5 tells us, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul gets specific of what he means by the sinful nature. Those who live according to these things, he tells us, are not living as those who are anointed, are not living as those qualified to be in the presence of God, in the tabernacle of heaven. But what is living in the Spirit? Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying others. Those who are set apart, anointed by the Lord Almighty, those who are numbered among those who belong to Jesus, who've been washed in His blood, reflect the life of the Spirit. Their life is not filled with hatred and jealousy and fits of rage. Their life is filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Paul describes for us the life of one who lives by the Spirit and the life of one who does not live by the Spirit. As the priests were anointed, as the items of the tabernacle were anointed to be in His presence, so are we as God's people, anointed, called to live set apart, sacred before Him. This Spirit does not just come upon everybody, but upon those who belong to Jesus. How is your Spirit living? Which description fits you? Which way are you living? Amen. Lord, we thank You for what we can read in Exodus 30. For Lord, we see the qualifications of those who are blessed by the intercession of the Spirit in heaven. We know, O Lord, that only the prayers of those who belong to You are heard, the prayers of the saints. And Lord, we pray that as we have been washed in the blood of Jesus, as we identify with His sacrifice on the cross, as we know and understand what it means to be anointed by Your Spirit, help us to live out that Spirit. Help our lives to be characterized by the fruit of the Spirit and not the fruit of the sinful nature. As we are at war with this sinful nature, give us the strength to live our lives in the fruit of the Spirit. Help us, Lord, through Your power, through Your grace, to overcome the sins that beset us and to live our lives in reflection of what it means to be set apart, sacred before You. And Lord, we long for that day when this battle will be over, that we may spend eternity with You in the heavenly tabernacle
you have before us. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.